Hey everybody, this is Pastor John Tafaro of Celebration Italia, and this is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. Welcome you, and also I hope this message blesses you, builds your faith, and inspires your walk with God. Please enjoy the message.
Okay, let's jump into the Word of God. This is perhaps such an important part of what we do this morning. We don't want to walk away and not having gone deep into the Word of God. This morning, I'm going to be encouraging you. This morning, not that other mornings I don't encourage you, but I just felt that we're just coming out of our Holy Spirit series, which has been incredible for me, diving deeper, and also hearing some of your testimonies, some of your reports, how this has been a blessed word for a lot of people. But this morning, I'm gonna be speaking from the following subject, from the title, Follow Jesus. We want to be following Jesus. Amen? We want to be following Jesus. You see, these were the first and the last words recorded from Jesus, was these words, follow me. At the beginning, if we look at the first conversations Jesus had with his disciples, when he was calling them out, he was just simply saying to them, follow me. And the disciples, Simon, Andrew, John, they would just leave whatever they were doing and go out and follow Jesus. Let's take a look at this in Mark chapter 1, verse 16. Passing along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, Andrew, his brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus says to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And the same thing he did with other people. He would just go up to them and say, follow me. And then the last words Jesus says to his disciples, if we go to the last Gospel, which is John, to the last chapter of the Gospel, which is chapter 21. If we go to the last words uttered by Jesus, was this very word, all you got to do is follow me. You can look at that in John 21, 22. Jesus was having a conversation with Peter, because Peter, there were some moanings between them about John, specifically about John, and whether he would live until Jesus would come or not. And Jesus would say to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? But you follow me. So we see the first words of Jesus, follow me. The last words of Jesus, follow me. This must be something important in following Jesus. This must be something critical for us as Christians, okay, to be in the following. The idea of following, I suppose, is pretty well known even in our language today, especially in the social media world. When you follow somebody, it's a big thing, apparently, if you're being followed by a lot of people. Just looking at some of those numbers, I don't know how many of you are aware, but the most followed person on social media in the world, okay, happens to be a man by the name of Cristiano Ronaldo. How many of you are familiar with Cristiano Ronaldo? So, okay, there you go. Even in this room, a lot of people follow, okay. I'm not sure whether you follow him, but I'm just saying he is one of the most followed people in the world. He has something like over 900 million people that follow him in some way, manner, or fashion. That's a lot of people. But yet, I wonder, and I ask myself, I wonder how many million people follow our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the true sense of the word, following Jesus, what does that imply? What does that mean? I think, let me start with this phrase. To follow Jesus really means we need to unfollow ourselves. I was speaking to Adriana, my daughter-in-law. She has a degree in social studies and whatever have you. We were talking together and she was sharing with me how the idea and the concept, even in the Italian language, follow seems to be a word used in the Italian vernacular, in the way of saying things. not only follow, but unfollow. It is popular, especially for the Gen Z generation, to say to themselves, I unfollowed, literally unfollowed in the English way, but with an Italian accent. I dare not do it, but I think you might understand, okay? Unfollowed, unfollowed, that's how they say it. Unfollowed that person and all that other person. And I believe for us to understand, to follow Jesus, okay, we need to unfollow ourselves. But to follow Jesus, you see, just the idea of following Jesus speaks a lot. Because in the following, it means that there is some action involved. There is some movement involved. When we follow somebody, okay, we cannot be passive about following somebody. We cannot be casual or laid back or in a position or a place that we follow somebody in a way that we're laid back about it. There is nothing you can be laid back when you're physically following somebody. I'll never forget, I was speaking with Mariana last night. I reminded her of something which happened to me at the beginning when I moved to Italy. I was just 20, 21 years old. And I started working at a place in the north of Naples, in the Melito area. I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with that area, Secondigliano, Melito area. I'll never forget my first day at work. The guy that helped me find that job, he says to me, hey, I'll meet you tomorrow morning. We're leaving at 7 o'clock. Bring your own car. But you need to follow me and you need to remember the way so that the following morning you go on your own. And I thought to myself, well, that can't be that hard. Exactly. Got in the car, and it took us about, I don't know, 25 minutes, 30 minutes from Caserta area to Melito area, back roads only. I didn't see a shred of a highway or any of that, okay? It was back roads only. Guys, believe me. Praise God, God has gifted me with one of the gifts I have, okay? I have a good sense of orientation, okay? Praise God, I don't know how I would have got out of that. But as I was following the car, I was looking at the landmarks, trying to remember this corner and this crossing and that crossing. And all night before the following morning, I was praying, God, please help me get there. Don't make me get lost in the north of Naples. Back in the days, there was full-scale mafia war going on, okay? There were dead people all over the place. Not literally, but I'm saying there was a lot of things going on the streets of Naples, okay? And I didn't want to get lost. Somebody who could hardly speak Italian, speaking with an English accent and having English manners, okay? How in the world am I going to get through this? But praise God, I'll never forget that morning. I was stuck at his tail like this. I wasn't moving. I wasn't budging. I wasn't letting any car come between me and him. I couldn't care less, okay? Because why? Because I needed to follow that car to take me to that destination. And I believe Jesus, his words today, sound so profound even to us today. He was saying, I want you to follow me. Yeah, but Jesus, I do this for you and I do that. No. I want you to follow me. I want you to follow. When we follow somebody, we have our full attention is focused on that person. When we follow somebody, okay, we're not distracted. We don't care about anything else, okay? We are focused on following that person. I don't know how many of you have actually followed even people amongst the crowd. People amongst these people, I'll never forget, and I'm sure some of you have seen it, when you go to Rome or when you go to these places that there are lots of tourists, a lot of tourists, Chinese tourists that they hang around in a group. Have you ever noticed, you know, with their umbrella, the lady and everybody, all these Chinese, about 50 of them walking behind this lady, and I happened to accidentally be in the middle of one of these situations, and they just threw me out of the way. Why? Because they were following that person, okay? Their focus on that umbrella or whatever sign they had, focused on following in a place that they don't know. Why? Because perhaps they're afraid to get lost. The same with us. Are we afraid to get lost? We want to get lost. But you see, the thing is, many of us feel lost. Isn't that right? We feel lost. We feel lost because perhaps we've lost sight of the person or the thing we should be following. Like I mentioned to you before, on social media has the sole scope or vision is to distract, to make that you follow whatever is the trend and whatever they want us to swallow, given their information they're given. Jesus says, and he's saying to us, I want you to follow me. And I think even in the Christian world, we've been completely swallowed up in following absolutely everything other than the only person that needs to be followed, and that's Jesus Christ. You see, sometimes in this, in the way we say things, in the way we present things, in the way we say, hey, we need to be following Jesus, sometimes it may seem easy, sometimes it may seem mundane, sometimes it may seem insignificant, but you see, sometimes these very things that seem easy or insignificant or not glamorous is where we drop the ball. Sometimes the idea of following Jesus, the idea of, you know, seeking him, the idea of referring to the Bible, the idea of praying, the idea of seeking the Spirit and the Holy Spirit in our lives and following him in our lives. Sometimes in the light of what the Word has to offer, it may seem insignificant, it may seem boring, it may seem some kind of distracting, if you like. But you see, these are the things that sometimes, these distractions or these things that seems insignificant, that's what we need to be careful about. There's the parable of the talents, which I'm sure many of us are familiar with. But I just want to read it again because I want to show you and share with you something which has touched me personally in the past few weeks and I've been chewing on and thinking about. Matthew chapter 25, let's read it together. Verse 24, it says this. He also who had received the one talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. We're reading to the point now that the previous two had already shown to the Lord of this parable, the fruit of their talents, the one who had five and the one who had two. This one who had the one turns up in front of his Lord and says these words. Verse 26, but his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he who will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. What I want to think and focus on right now in the text we just read is this. He who didn't live up to what was expected of him was the very man who was given the one talent. He who didn't come back and bring the right fruit to the master who was expecting something wasn't the one who was given five, perhaps the most arduous job or the most overwhelming amount, wasn't the one who was given two, the second in line, if you like, but it was the one who was given the one, the least amount. The one who was given the less compared to the rest of them was the very one that actually dropped the ball. What does this mean to us? I think there are dangers around the one. The one can be deceitful. The insignificant, the mundane, the small, the hidden. There is nothing big, nothing exciting, dare I say it, nothing sexy about the one compared to the five or the two or the 10 or the 100. There is nothing that takes our attention from the one. But you see, in our Christian life or in our Christian walk, the one is exactly what we all need in our Christian walk. That's where it all starts. That's where it's all, that's where the beginning happens, is in one, is where we start, is where we come. In order for us to follow Jesus, we need to start somewhere, but we need to start from the one. In other words, we need to start from basics. We need to start saying, Lord, you know, there's not a lot of, I'm understanding about my Christian walk right now, but I'm trusting you and I want to learn from you. I want to start reading my Bible, be consistent in reading my Bible, being faithful in my prayer life. I'm going to start with the one. It's not about, oh, he's doing that and I'm not doing this and she's doing that and I'm not doing this. It's nothing about that. It's about God has entrusted you with something that perhaps seems mundane, seems insignificant, seems that it's not making an impact anywhere with anybody, but God has entrusted you with it, which means it's important, which means that there is a vision for it. There is a final way for it. And we must trust God and must be faithful in the small, must be faithful in the one, must be faithful with what we have now and not perhaps what we would like. The one sometimes can become deceitful. And perhaps in the heart of this man who had that one talent was looking at the one in the five. I'm saying, oh man, look at him. What does he have which I don't have? What does he get? Five. I only got one. Wouldn't it be fair if you would have given me two or three, okay, and shared it between us? I only got one. And you see, sometimes we look at our one. Now, our one can be anything. Can be perhaps the way our style of the way we worship God, could be our reading, could be how God has entrusted us in serving in church in any capacity or way or not way. Our one can be whatever God has given us so that we can produce more for his glory, whatever that looks like, and perhaps each one of you know in your own lives. But we need to be careful because sometimes the one can be deceitful. It says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, the first part of this verse, it says, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Friends, if God has entrusted you with whatever, with your family, and you find it boring, perhaps, speaking on sharing or praying with your children or with your parents or whatever have you, God has entrusted you. So before you think you can go out there and change the world, God is saying, let's start with your home. Before you can go out there and say, well, I want to do this. I want to be a missionary. I want to go here and I want to go that. Let's start by sorting out the chairs in the room. Let's start by whatever God makes us start with. And we faithfully begin in the small, in the what seems small. Following Jesus is one step at a time. Amen? One step at a time. Following Jesus doesn't mean that I'm walking on water the next day, which I hope you will. And when you do, make sure you call me. Give me a heads up because I want to see it. Not because I doubt you, because I just want to see the spectacle of you walking on water. This doesn't mean that. It means that I'm taking one step at a time. I'm trusting God one step at a time. And one step at a time, I'm seeing him work in my life. But this is the question. Can you be entrusted with the small and apparently insignificant? Can you be consistent and trustworthy with whatever God has entrusted you with? I mean, this speaks to a lot of things in our lives. So I don't have time to call out anything specifically. But let me tell you this. The one is never too small number, is never too a small number for God. It's always about the one. Do you remember the parable of the lost sheep? He left the what? The 99 to go and pick up the what? One. It's always about the one. It's always about the one, which must become the first. One is only one if you leave it as one. The one can become the first in an instant. What am I saying? Is that insignificant whatever God has trusted us with, okay, must become, okay, we need to be focused on it. We need to start with it, but we must have the mindset it is the first. because I know God is taking me somewhere. I know God has more in store for me. So this must be the first. Why? I'm building on what God has given me and what He has entrusted me. The first. The first in our life. What am I saying is that in order for us to follow Jesus, we need to be focused. Okay, we need to be getting up. We need to be starting. We need to be following. There's something physical about this. There's something we need to get off our butts, okay, and literally start walking in the way of God, one step at a time. But that one step must become the first step. Please follow me. I'm going somewhere with this. That one step must become the first step. Many Christians, they start with the one, I've accepted Jesus, praise the Lord, this is all good, this is great, okay? And it stops there. Okay, what now? What needs to happen now? Okay, what needs to happen now is that we need to get stronger in the Word. We need to reference the Word. We need to be praying. We need to have an active life within the community. We need to be making an impact in people. Oh, and we stop there. That one must become the first. This is my first step. I'm getting stronger. This is my second step. I see that in my life, God is changing, transforming me. I'm taking the third step. I'm seeing that God is impacting the family around me. I'm taking a fourth step. I'm seeing that people around me, even in my workplace, are being impacted by my life. Not so much by my words, but by my life. You know, I'm a great advocate of saying the first way we should evangelize, we should be preaching, is with our lives more than our words. So people around us are seeing this. This is the fourth step, the fifth step, the sixth step, so that when we look back, okay, we are not where we started. We're not with the one stuck here, with the one step, but we've actually made steps towards going closer to God. This is the route. This is the following Jesus. I'm actually growing. Something is happening in my life. I'm seeing that I'm not who I should be, but I'm definitely not who I was. That is the steps. That is the, if you like, the progression. The first must take place. The first step must take place. If we look at the Gospels, we see, or the Bible in general, we see that there are many firsts. Let me just give you a few of them. There's the first mile. The first mile. Hang on a minute, Pastor John, wasn't it the second mile? You're right. But in order to have a second mile, we've got to have the first. The first mark. It says in Mark, Jesus says these words. It says in Mark chapter 5, verse 41. If a soldier demands that you carry his gear for a mile, carry it 2 miles. And many of us are familiar with the principle of the second mile. Many of us are familiar with we need to go above and beyond of what's expected of us. Things change when we go the second mile. Things happen. There's a shifting that happens. But in order for us to do the second mile, okay, we need to be doing the first mile. Not much is spoken about the first mile. A lot is spoken, and rightly so, about the second mile. But what happens in the first mile? According to the Roman customs, the Jews, or whatever country the Romans would go in, they were obliged to carry the Roman soldiers' equipment for 1 mile. In the Roman roads, when the Romans would build the roads, every mile they would put a marker on a stone on the side of the road, marking the miles and marking the distance from Rome. Hence is where we get the saying, especially in Italy or perhaps all over the world, that all roads lead to, not Washington. Who said Washington? All roads lead to Rome. Why? Because there were these mile markers that would say, so the Roman soldier would say to the Jew, okay, carry my gear, carry my equipment. And he had to carry. He didn't have a choice. If he refused, he was in big trouble. So we see that there is that mandatory mile. Follow me, because like I'm trying to go somewhere here. There's that mandatory mile. And let me tell you, that mandatory mile is the hardest. It interrupts your schedule. You were going places. You were doing something. Okay? It stopped you. That Roman soldier stopped you and says, hey, stop what you're doing. Stop where you're going. You need to carry this for me. So the mandatory mile is the hardest. It interrupts your schedule. You must swallow your pride. Because this The soldier is telling you what you should be doing. You're carrying the extra load that you didn't budget for. So what I'm trying to say is that we mustn't overlook the first mile. So in order for the second mile to happen, we must be putting into place our first mile. That's when Jesus would say then, go the second mile. But the first mile must happen. Those first steps must happen. There are things in my life that I need to get sorted. Lord, I want to walk on water. Okay, you want to walk on water, but first, get stuck into my word. First, make sure that you have a prayer life. Make sure that you have a rhythm in your spiritual life. Make sure that there is something which is happening in your life that is taking place on a daily way. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Something that we're nourishing and nurturing ourselves and building ourselves in a daily fashion. Not a weekly, not only a Sunday morning, but on a daily basis. On a daily schedule, I'm learning, I'm eating, I'm receiving nourishment. So in order for us to understand the second mile, okay, like I said, that's a whole other sermon, I don't want to go there. I just wanted to show you that there needs to be a first mile. There's the first. There has to be a first. When we follow Jesus, that one needs to be transformed in the first. So that we are gradually stepping and going and following Jesus. There has to be the first mile. Another first, which we look at the Bible, which comes to mind, is the first fruit. Is the first fruit. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. There's another principle from Genesis all the way to Revelation. The principle of the first fruits. Our first fruits is not so much about an amount. And it's never been about an amount. Even Celebration Church, we've never burdened people with specific amounts that perhaps you can or cannot donate and give towards the church. We don't do that. We've never done that. But what we do want to do is always give a principle. We want to share a principle that if you apply it in your life, you will see the benefits of it in your life. If you apply it in your finances, apply it in your time, apply it in every aspect of your life, when you make it about the first fruits to God, okay, we see a true impact in every area of our life. And I'm telling you this through experience. And many of us perhaps know the story of Cain and Abel. It's one of the first places we read about the first. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Cain started it. Cain was the one in some way came before Abel, okay? But what we see here, something happened comparing the two offerings. Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Verse 4, and Abel also brought what? Firstborn of his flock and the fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. I don't want to preach specifically about Cain and Abel, but I just want to show you that what made the difference was the firstborn, okay? The fat portions, the best. We see Abel brought to the Lord the first, the best. And are we in our lives, in order to follow Jesus, are we bringing him our first? Are we bringing him our best? Are we bringing him whatever God places on our heart? And like I said, it has nothing to do with an amount. It has nothing to do, okay, with a specific amount. Because people say, well, God doesn't really need our money, does he? No, but he needs, and he wants to see your undivided attention. He wants to see where your heart is. He wants to see how faithful and how loyal and how willing are you to leave it at all at the cross, including our finances. Or let me put it this way, more than finances, including where our heart is. Because Jesus did say, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Where is your heart? That's the issue. Where is your heart? I remember once a man of God once told me, he says, John, if you want to know where your heart is, if you want to know regarding finance, look at your bank statement. See what's going where. See how much is going to church and how much is going to sustain the house of God, and see how much it goes to sustain something else in your life. Just look at your bank statement. Obviously, it's difficult when people say things like that, doesn't it? It's uncomfortable, and I can see some of you going, ugh. It's uncomfortable. But these are the truths that we need to listen to. These are the first smile, okay? You've got to go out of your way. It's nothing comfortable. There's nothing that we can start our walk being in a comfortable position. There needs to be a first fruits that whatever we're doing, whatever the direction we're going in, we're thinking firstly above God. We're thinking firstly to honor Him. Like I says, and I want to say it out loud, I'm not here to say we should be giving our tithes or we should be offering more. I'm not going to say that. God knows all things and He'll speak to the right people at the right time. There's no pressure there. But what there is, the pressure which I want to bring upon you is this. Let's see the principle. Let's understand the principle. I've seen it in my life. I've seen it in our family's life, how God has always been faithful. With little, because there have been times that in our family, we've had very little. Our first year marriage, I lost my job here, that famous job that I was following the car. I lost that job. Not because I got lost. I lost it for other reasons. I lost that job. And it was our first year married. We had Adriana, and we literally didn't know how to move food. There was no unemployment benefit. There was no one helping us. But fortunately, we had Marina's family that was helping us, other people that were helping us. We didn't know how to do our groceries or how to pay our electrical bills. We didn't know how to do that. We've seen that, but we've also seen abundance. We've seen how, before I became a pastor, I was involved in an executive position for the third largest company in the south of Italy. I was closing multi-million dollar contracts. I had multiple people that would work for me. I was in charge of a team of 70, 80 people. I had a driver. I had a private plane at my disposal. I would go and visit some of the most beautiful cities in Europe, closing contracts. I would stay at the best hotels. I would eat at the best restaurants. I would have bonuses. Nothing was lacking, but yet, the most important thing was lacking in my life. Purpose was lacking. Christ Jesus was lacking in my life. I had noticed how these things had taken me away from my Lord and Savior. And I wanted to get back. But we gave all that. I don't say I say we gave all that up to follow Jesus. So Jesus saw whether it was small or whether it was a lot, our heart before God was the same. And you see, many times, God will test you. What are you going to do with this? You just got a bonus. Are we going to honor God even with this, which may seem insignificant, which may seem little, which may seem perhaps a lot? Are we going to honor God? When we're following Jesus, we are unfollowing ourselves. Going at the beginning of what I says, when we're following Jesus, we want to follow Him. Another thing, another first I see is this. First love. The first love. We need to have the first love. In Revelation chapter 2 verse 4 it says, but I have this against you. The angel speaking to the church of Ephesus. Okay, which was a strong church. It was a church that was generous, as a church that was consistent, a church which would call out any apostasy, a church which would stand firm in the truth. But yet the angels writing to the church of Ephesus would say this, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. What was missing in this church wasn't consistency, wasn't the impact it was having, wasn't his outreach programs, wasn't his beautiful worship. What was missing in that church was its first love. That passion, that desire, that energy, that willingness to serve God. First him, to love him above all things. That is what God calls of us. Our first love for God, our first love for his church, our first love for his people. Pastor John, I love God, but I don't love his church. That is anti-biblical. Because Jesus is coming back for his church. He loved the church so much so that he sent his only begotten son. So if Jesus loves the church and he's coming back to the church, we can't say we don't love the church. It's full of problems and full of people that are weird. Well, guess what? So are you. So, weird people, let's all come together and be weird. But we're part of God's church. We've got to love his church. We've got to love God with all our hearts. We can't just be bystanders. We can't just observe. Sometimes people, you know, I've had conversations with many of you guys also from our Italian church. People come to church, find difficulty to get plugged in. Because sometimes, somehow, people have the idea that we've got it all together, which is great to hear it sometimes. Okay, what I'm saying is not that we don't got it all together, but what I'm saying is that we make room. We are always making room. We are always giving people the opportunity, okay, to serve and to be serving together. And whatever dynamic and whatever level that people wish to be serving, people wish to be involved, you can. There are many needs, but at the same time, there are many possibilities. Because guess what? The first benefactor of you serving is not us, it's yourself. Because when you're sowing, what happens when you sow? You'll eventually reap, okay? You'll eventually gather. God has so much in store for you, but we must come to the first love. So in order to follow Jesus, we need to understand the one must become the first, okay? The first what? The first mile, okay? The mandatory mile, what needs to be said in our lives, we must start with that. Okay, basic. We need to be in the Word. We need reading the Word of God. We need to be praying. We need to be involved what's happening with our small groups or with church. There is the first fruits, honoring God with whether it be our time, our finances, honoring Him first in everything we do so that we can be entrusted with more. And then there is the first love that God wants us to have for him and everybody else. In conclusion, friends, let me ask you this question. I'm going to ask the worship team if they can join me. Are we ready to unfollow ourselves? Are we ready to follow Jesus and trust him? Are we ready when Jesus is calling us? Because he's calling us. He's called me. He's calling you. He's saying, John, follow me. But what do we want? We want to know where. We want to know when. We want to know what shall I wear. We want to know, is there any food? We want to know, is it going to be comfortable? Is it going to be hot? Is it going to be rain? Is it going to be shadow? Is there going to be, I don't know, some kind of entertainment? Jesus is saying, I just want you to follow me. I want you to follow me. I want to say this. Following Jesus is not a destination. It's not in the destination. Following Jesus is in a transformation. Because when we follow Jesus, it doesn't matter where we're following him to. It's where we're following him from. Are you with me? Doesn't matter where we need to go. All we need to do is to trust him. Now, this is counter-cultural. Trusting. What are you saying, Pastor John? It is today. If you hear many people, if you hear many conversations between people and a lot of strife and a lot of problems comes because there is no more trust. Look at the governments around the world. We don't trust our government. We don't trust our leaders. We don't trust who perhaps is pledging to come in or not. We don't trust what's going on around us. We've come to the point that perhaps we don't even trust our own family members. Like I said, it's countercultural us to say, I'm going to trust you, Jesus. Because that is the very place that Jesus wants to take us into. That trust, that following Him, that I don't care where we're going, but I'm going to trust you.
Thank you for joining us. Also, I wanted to give a special thanks to those of you who give generously to this ministry. It is because of you that this ministry is possible. You can visit us at our website, celebrationitalia.com, for more information. If you have enjoyed the podcast, you can subscribe, share the message with your friends, and if you feel up to it, share it in your stories and tag us at #CelebrationItalia. Thanks again for listening, and don't miss our next episode. God bless you all.